You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Hey, I've got a question, a serious question to ask you, right? Give yourself a score out of 5 stars, right? You know, how is your spiritual life? How is your spiritual life? Think about that question. Five star being you and Jesus, you guys are close. Like 5 star is like, come and spend time with me and I'll show you how to walk on water. Because I'm on a spiritual high with Jesus. Yeah, Google review will give you 5-star rating. Okay, think about that. One star, it's like, Lord Jesus, where are you? Like searching for the presence of God is like the West Coast Eagles searching for just one win this year. It's just not going to happen, right? It's a season. Ooh, I can sense the tension. Like you're in a season of spiritual dryness. It's like you cannot remember the last time you've heard the voice of God. Okay, so if you give yourself a 5-star and you're honest about it, then you can have an easy Sunday afternoon. You can just relax, okay? If you give yourself a 5-star, just enjoy, relax. But if you give yourself a 1-star and you're honest and you're like, wow, in fact, it's quite a hard season, then I have hope for you, my friends. I believe that this is a word in season for you. And I believe that God can change your season and you will experience the glory and the presence of God again. I want to say that it's not uncommon for Christians to have season of spiritual dryness. All right? It's something that a lot of Christians will go through. Often you have symptoms like, you know, you're bored when it comes to reading the Bible. It's this boredom. Or you're just tired of attending Sunday worship. Or there's just no interest in prayer. Like you don't really pray. The only prayer that you would pray is the one where you eat. Lord, thank you for the food. Amen. Like that's the only time you pray. Like there's no desire to serve the Lord and his people, and there's a lack of Christian joy. I want to say that throughout church history, there have been many faithful Christians who've experienced season of spiritual dryness. Like we're talking about people like Mother Teresa, Martin Luther, Charles Spurgeon, C.S. Lewis. Like they've experienced deep season where it's like, God, where are you? Charles Spurgeon once wrote, he says, I am the subject of depressions of spirit so fearful that I hope none of you ever get to such extremes of wretchedness. This is Spurgeon, someone that I love to read and he's preaching, but he has been in season where it's like, God, this is just not right. I don't sense you, I don't feel you, what's going on? We read the Bible and we also see that in the Bible as well. Like heroes of the faith, people that we read and we love. For example, Job, in the book of Job, there are moments where he's questioning the presence of God. Like he's saying, God, where are you in the midst of my suffering? Or Elijah, if you remember Elijah, after the event of Mount Carmel where he would, you know, defeat all these false prophets, he goes into this season of like depression. And he's so low that he even asked God to take his life. How about Jeremiah? The prophet Jeremiah, he has another name. Do you know what the name is? He's the weeping prophet. Like he is always crying. The burden of ministry is so heavy that he will often say, God, this is not fair. Where are you, God? Read Jeremiah chapter 20 and you know what I'm talking about. And then we get to King David. Like most of the Psalms are written by David. And David also would have seasons where things are just so tough. And that's where we are tonight. We want to look into David's writing in a season where it's like, God, where are you? What's going on? So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Psalm 63. And in these Psalms here, I believe, right, we can study what's going on in David's life to help any one of us here who's in a season of spiritual dryness. Now, depending on what translation you have, you might notice there's a subheading at the very beginning of that psalm, right? And it goes a bit like this. A psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. Like you have that subtitle in the beginning of that chapter. And let me paint you the context first before I expound the text. Is that one of David's son, Absalom, is out to get him. So David's son, right, wants to overthrow David. Right? So Absalom would rally a group of followers. And Absalom would declare to be king. And now he's after his very own dad. And David, who now is in danger, finds himself a fugitive. He is running, fleeing from Jerusalem into the desert of Judah, hiding from his very own son. Read 2 Samuel chapter 15 to 18, and you can see this account. Now, this is the same David where years before that, he is running away from King Saul. He is running for his life. And right here in Psalm 63, he's running away from his very own son. This man, David, he understands isolation. He understands separation. He understands wilderness life. And so right here, he begins to write this beautiful psalm. And there are three things that I want you to remember if you are in a season of spiritual dryness and you want to get out of that season. And I'll tell you what they are, and I'll pray, and we'll work the text together. Three things. Number one, there must be a longing for the presence of God. A longing for the presence of God again. You got to cry out to God. That's a good start. Secondly, remembering the provisions of God, what God has done for you in the past. And thirdly, anchoring on the promises of God. And if any one of you here this afternoon, you're in a season of spiritual dryness, I really hope that this is a word in season for you and that you'll remember these three points and you'll find yourself just encountering the presence of God again. Let me pray and we'll work Psalm 63 together. Lord, I just pray now that as I begin to share your word to your people here, that they'll hear your voice through your word. Lord, will you use me? More of you and less of me. God, thank you so much for the honor and the joy of just being used by you right now. So Lord, would you use me? Holy Spirit, speak to each and every one of us. And for anyone here who's really struggling in their walk with you, that following you is just so tough, it's so dry, I pray, God, that there is such hope through your word. So would you help us all? In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Have your Bible to Psalm 63. First point is, longing for the presence of God again. Now look in verses 1 to 4. This is the word of God. David writes, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands." The very first thing we see right here in the text is David is earnestly seeking the presence of God in the midst of his desert moment. He is crying out for the presence of God. Look carefully in the text. He says, "I earnestly seek you." He goes, "I thirst for you." This is a guy in the desert. He should be thirsty for a Gatorade or some coconut juice, or a ginger beer, all right? But he says what? "I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you." In verse 2, he says, "I have seen you in the sanctuary." In other words, the temple. Remember, God's presence would have been confined to the temple. And right now, David is nowhere near the temple. Where is he? He's in the desert. He's hiding from his son. But he's saying, "God, I remember you. I remember your presence when we were together in the temple. And I long for that and I want that." Look in verse 3. "Your love," or "your presence, is better than life." He says, "I'd rather die," right, "and not have your presence." Like, your presence, your love for me is better than this life. I mean, when was the last time you actually cried out to God and you said, "God, like, your presence, your love for me is better than my life, better than all the things that I've accumulated"? When was the last time you cried out to God like that? Right here, we see him saying, God, I just long for you. I want you. And here's the thing, listen carefully. It's the awareness to know that there is a spiritual lack. That's the key. That you realize that there is a lack in your walk with the Lord. That awareness is the key to start moving out of your spiritual dryness. A lot of times, Christians, listen, we don't realize there's a lack. We just assume that everything is good. And you know why? It's because the evil one has distracted us. And we are so occupied with worldly things that we forget the spiritual things. And we don't see there's a spiritual lack. And we just keep living our life. And we just think that the Christian walk is all about you come here for a good singing karaoke session. Someone preaches a message. And you go back to work next day. And you do the best you can. And you get back here on Sunday. And you do it over and over again. And we think that's life. No. There's more to life than that. Sometimes we don't even see that there is a lack in the Christian walk. It's a bit like this. Like, you know, you're driving your car and the oil indicator begins to flash and you see that, it's not a good sign. Has anyone ever seen that when you're driving? Like, you see that and you stop the car straight away, all right? Now imagine, right? You're driving the car and the oil indicator is flashing, but you're just too caught up trying to get the latest song on Spotify to play in your car, or you're busy checking what's going on with your messages on the phone whilst you're driving, and you're just chatting with the people around you, and you do not notice the flashing oil indicator. You got a problem. That's what the devil loves to do. He puts distraction in our lives to stop us seeing what is lacking. He puts the worldly things before us to cover up the spiritual things. It goes a bit like this. The exam is around the corner, and it's a huge exam. Therefore, I have no time for prayer. For me, as a pastor, one of my biggest distractions is that I've got a busy week. I've got so many appointments, so many people to meet. I've got to write. I've got to study. I don't have time for God. You see? Or the one where it's like, I've got a big project that needs to be completed in 3 months' time, therefore I'm going to take a break from church for the next 3 months. Or the classic, it's winter season now, it's sports, Oz kick. So my kids have got Sunday sports, and we'll just take a six-month hiatus from church during winter. All those things ain't bad things. But usually what happens is the devil's very smart. He puts all these distractions before us so that we don't see what's lacking, right? But if this morning you realize that there's something lacking, like, you are honest and you say, I really want the presence of God. Like, there is a lacking. Then I think that's a great start to personal revival. Because here's the thing. Because if you know that you're dry, it should draw out a hunger for the presence of God again. Like, you want God again. And what I've learned is this, is that when you cry out to God, it's evident that God is already awakening your soul for his presence again. The people who are crying out for God, God, I long for your presence. God is already doing a work inside your soul. He's awakening you. You know, he begins to work inside of you. And usually what happens when you cry out to God is that complacency is broken, dependency upon God is restored, and the heart is ready to experience God again. Martin Lloyd-Jones once said, the man who truly seeks God is the man whom God has already begun to awaken. And maybe for some of us here this afternoon, like, you know that there is something that's lacking. You want more in your walk with God. Praise God. God's already awakened your soul. And I think you have to now cry out to God. You have to long for the presence of God. Like, seriously, when was the last time, like, you got up in the morning, you said, God, I just want your presence today. Like, God, I just want to feel you again. I want to be able to enjoy you again. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time you said, God, unless I feel your presence, I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop meditating. I'm not going to stop reading the Word of God. Because the danger is that we tend to do a lot of things. And if God doesn't show up, we just move on. and we just get to work or get to study. But when was the last time you say, God, I really long for your presence? The psalmist writes in Psalms 42:1, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. You see, the psalmist is not seeking for answer or relief or breakthroughs. He's longing for what? The presence of God again. And that's the first thing we should consider. Anyone here that you have given yourself a 1 or 2 star at the very beginning of my sermon, you're like, yeah, Pastor, it's pretty bad right now. Well, maybe the starting point is longing, yearning for his presence again. Crying out and say, God, I want it again. That's the very first thing to help us move out of that season of spiritual dryness. Amen? Secondly, is that you need to remember what God has done for you in the past, the provision of God. You've got to start remembering it. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. You know, as I get older, I'm forgetting a lot of my childhood. And I'm trying to write things down. I'm trying to remember it. And I think we've got to learn to remember what God has done for us in the past. Now look back at the text. Look in Psalm 63 from verses 5 onwards. He says, I will fully satisfy as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. You see what he says? He says, God, I remember you. What is he remembering about God? Look carefully in verse 7. He says, you are my what? You're my help. You see that? You're the one who holds me up. You see, we need to understand the context here, that prior to this desert moment, God helped David on many occasions. Like, it was God helping David defeat Goliath. And I'm thinking he's remembering that. It was God who helped David escape Saul. I'm thinking he's remembering that. It was God helping David overcome the enemies as he would fight against them. Israel was victorious because of God. He's remembering that. And he says, God, I remember what you did. You helped me. You upheld me. And that's so important. Like in those seasons of spiritual dryness, we have to have the discipline to remember what God has done for us in the past. He even says what? He says that I sing in the shadow of your wings. The phrase shadow of your wings, we see a lot in the Psalms. But it speaks of a mother bird protecting her young under her wings. In the AM service, there's a guy named Dave. Dave and Deb. Like if you've met Dave, Dave's a big guy. He's a mountain of a man, all right? He's like 6'4" or something. And Dave is also a hugger. He loves a hug, all right? And so when Dave hugs you, there's no escape, right? Like you're stuck, right? But when he hugs you, and he hugs me a lot, which is okay, right? You feel a closeness to Dave, right? You feel safe around Dave. You feel protected by Dave, and dare I say it, you feel intimate in a manly way with Dave, right? Right? And King David is saying that. He says, I remember how you would take care of me under your wings. I remember the closeness of God. I remember the protection of God. I remember the intimacy with God. I remember what God has done for me in the past. You see, in your spiritual dryness, not only you cry out to God and you long for God, but you start remembering God, what he's done for you in the past. Dallas Willard, in his book, The Divine Conspiracy, he has this beautiful quote. He says this, the first and most basic thing we can and must do is keep God before our minds. Always have God here. This is the fundamental secret of caring for our souls. It's remembering God in the tough time. Do not let the season of wilderness stop you from remembering the goodness of God. You know, for any counselors here, in relationship counseling, there's a term called positive sentiment override. Positive sentiment override. This is where married couples are encouraged to remember the good times of the past. All those wonderful holidays together, all the fun memories that you've created. That's why for those who've been married now for several years, I often say it's good to go to the attic and find the wedding album and look at the wedding photos again. Even better, if you got photos of when you were dating, go and look at them again. Just remember those wonderful moments together. That first date when he would open the door for you. You know, when you went to watch the movie together and you're sharing that popcorn. And you're just offering one another the last popcorn. No, you have that last popcorn. No, you have it. No, you have it. No, you have it. I insist you have it. All right? And the reason why we do this is that those good memories can override the negative moments. So when things are tough, right, instead of looking at the negative, we remember the positive, why we love that person, why we're together, and why we should stay connected. And that's the same with our faith. That's the same in the season of spiritual dryness, that we should remember God's past goodness because it will help us override any doubts or any dryness and helps us to move out of that spiritual dryness. You remember when God's people were delivered from the Egyptian and they're in the wilderness? What did God often tell them to do? Remember what he has done. Remember? God said, remember how I heard your cry. Remember when I delivered you from the Egyptian. Remember when I saved you. Remember what I've done. Remember the past goodness. God would often tell Israel to remember what he has done. And that's the same for you and I. Because memory of God's provision strengthens our faith. And if we forget what God has done, we will end up forgetting who God is. Amen. Therefore, it's a good practice to remember what he has done. Psalms 42, the psalmist writes this, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God, how I used to go there under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng." Verse 6, "My soul is downcast within me, therefore what? I will remember you." You see that? And I realize that with the introduction of Google and AI, like our memory in this generation, it's the worst ever. Like it's below par. Like we are relying on AI to do all the memorying for us. Is that right? I mean, back in the good old days, you had to remember your home phone number. You had to remember your address. You have to remember your social security number. And today AI remembers everything for you. I mean, I read somewhere that the Gen Z, apparently, just in my reading, is that this generation here, you've got the worst memory of them all. It's not to have a dig against you, but it's because I think because you're just so dependent upon technology. You know, I tell my kids, my boys, that are here, right, great. I tell them, go and clean your room. And I've got to tell them again in half an hour's time, go and clean your room. Now remembering. And the next day, go and clean your room. And like 2 weeks' time, go and clean. They just don't remember. You know? And so I think if we understand that's the generation we're in, then we got to be proactive to somehow at least record the blessings of God. Have a gratitude journal. Write things down. Write down when God answered your prayer. Write down when God provided for you. Write down when God guided you. Write down when God sustained you. And then every now and then, go back and read it and go, I remember that. I prayed for this specific thing and God answered it. Go back and read it. Because by remembering that, it helps us through those tough seasons. Here's another thing. Learn the habit of sharing the good things that God has done for you in the past. Like you share it. Because when you share what God has done, it helps you remember what God has done. Share it to the people in your connect group. Share it with people here. Share it with your family and friends. Share it on Sunday right here, because when you share it, it will help you remember it. Learn to share your testimonies. I think there's nothing better if you share what God has done for you, because it's going to build faith to the listener, but also it helps you to remember. Here's another thing. Learn to share it with God Himself. Like sometimes we go to prayer and we think like, I'm going to pray now, and we go straight to the I need you God mode, and prayer becomes about God, just do all these things for me. Is that right? Like we go, God, you know, I need you to help me find work and help me find a boyfriend, help me with my exam, help me with my gout problems, whatever it is, right? It's just God, help. Why don't we start the prayer with God? I remember what you've done for me in the past. Just share it with God. If you got no friends, God's your friend, share with Him. God, I remember how last week I asked for something and you delivered and you helped me. And by sharing with God, you're going to remember what God has done for you. And then you get to the whole, God, will you help me with this? Will you help me with that? A lot of times, I'll just sidetrack, a lot of times with prayer, we just come and we just tell God what we want and we just finish prayer. That's it. And we question, I wonder why my prayer is so short. Because you're probably greedy. Because all you want is, God, help me, and then that's it, amen. No. Why don't you start off by saying, God, I remember what you have done for me. Last season, last year, last week. Just start off that. God, you're so good. Be thankful. God, I'm alive today. You could have taken me home last week, but you didn't. Thank you. You're so good. And then slowly, God, will you help me with these things? In fact, before you even ask God to help you, maybe pray for someone else. God, I'm going to pray for my friend. I'm going to pray for someone who don't know the Lord yet. And then you, God, would you help me with my exam or whatever? Does it make sense? And then your prayer becomes very rich and becomes a great time where it's just you talking with God. This week, I'll just sidetrack again. This week, my prayer this week was just really for me. That was my deal with God this week. I said, God, this whole week, I'm not going to pray for anyone else. I'm going to pray for me. I'm going to pray for you guys. I pray for you guys too much. I'm going to pray for me now. That's why my prayer this week. It was so great. God, I'm just praying that you just help me just to be a good follower of you. Just me. It's a wonderful time. Okay? So we've got to learn to have ways to remember what God has done. Create that habit. Write it down. Share it. Tell it to God. Remember the provision of God. All right? And I guarantee you, it will help you get out of that season of spiritual dryness. Okay, here's the third thing. Here's the last thing here. Anchoring on the promises of God. This is important. Like if you're in a season of spiritual dryness, you've got to always anchor, you cling onto who God is. Look in verse 9 to the end of the chapter. He writes, those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of lies will be silenced. And that's the end of the Psalms. So you notice how David, he's so confident that God will deliver him. He's like, you notice how he writes it in the future tense? Like he's believing what God will do. Because remember right now, he's still in the wilderness. He's still hiding from his son, right? But he's anchoring on who God is. He says, those who are after me, God, you will destroy them. He says, well, the enemies, well, they will become food for jackals. The liars, the mouths of liars, they'll be silenced. The king, that's him, he's referring to himself, King David. I will rejoice in God. Like, he is in a season where he's in the wilderness, but he refuses to let his circumstance get the better of him. Because often in season of spiritual dryness, the danger of deception creeps into our minds and we start believing lies about God. Like we start thinking that God is distant, that God is not there. You know, he's abandoned us and he doesn't want to get involved with us. That's a lie, that God is distant. Another lie is that God is silent. Like he's silent. He doesn't want to speak to us. He's too busy with the other things, therefore he's going to remain silent. That's a deception. That's a lie. Or God is disappointed. Like we assume we're in our mess because somehow we've failed God. That's a lie. Or God is inactive. Like he's on holiday mode. His notifications are all switched off and he's not responding. Right? Or God's love is conditional. Like we start believing that God only loves us when we are spiritually strong and passionate and doing well. Friends, that's not what I see in the Bible. That's not the God that I see in Scripture. I mean, the Bible tells me that God is near. In fact, the Bible is very clear that God is near those who are crushed in spirit. He's actually drawing closer to those who are hurting. If you are dry in your walk with God, let me say that God is closer to you than you think. He's near. But you've got to be anchored on those promises of God. All right? Or the Bible says that God is always speaking. He's always speaking. And someone says to me once, Ben, I can't hear God. I said, why? And they said, I don't know, I can't hear God. I said, have you read the Bible? Read the Bible out loud. You hear God through His Word. Read the Word of God. God is speaking to you through His Word. Have you slowed down and cleared your mind to let Him speak to you? Like He's always speaking to us. The Bible says that God is active. He's always doing something. You might not see it, but I know that God is working all things good for those who love Him. He's working behind the scene. The Bible tells me that His love for me is what? Unconditional. It's perfect. It's complete. In fact, He would love me when I was a sinner, when I was rebellious. So clearly, unless I'm anchoring on the character of God, the promises of God, I'm in trouble. Because in the season of spiritual dryness, the evil one wants to deceive us and say that you're only where you are is because of what you've done. You're only where you are is because God ain't listening or God is not active. God ain't loving you. You need to anchor, listen, yourself in who God is. And the only way to do that, listen carefully, is that you need to surround yourself with brothers and sisters in Christ who will remind you of the promises of God. Like, that's why it's so important. In season of spiritual dryness, we need to stay close to God's people. Because isolation will only magnify deception. Don't run away from God. Run towards God and His people. That's why I always say, have people around you. Be in a connect group. Have people who are going to pray for you and encourage you. Learn to have honest chats with those Christians who are mature and say, hey, I'm struggling. Like, life right now sucks. It's so spiritually dry. Will you pray for me? Will you help me? Would you remind me of the promises of God? And let them remind you, encourage you. Another thing is this, learn to be in Scripture. We need to fill our minds with the words of God. We need to fill our minds with the promises of God, because if you're not, something else is going to fill your mind. Get God's word into your mind first before the world try to invade and occupy that space. Get God's word into your mind and know the character of God. Know the promises of God. Fill it with your mind. That means for some of us, we've got to read the Bible. Like, I know that when you're spiritually dry, reading the Bible is hard and it's boring. I get it. Just try to read it. Read small sections. Read a verse or two. Just read and let God fill your mind with His word. And may He fill your mind with His promises. And may that be the stepping to get out of that season. Here's another thing you can do. You can learn to just sing good Christian songs. The ones where it speaks of the character of God. You know, at Sun Life Church, we tend to find more songs that are about God's character than about us. So sometimes we do sing those subjective songs where, God, I love you, God, I need you. And I think it's important. But the majority of our songs here is that we want to find a song that's more objective about who God is. We're singing about God, about His character, about His goodness, about His promises. That's the reason why it's important that sometimes in those seasons of spiritual dryness, you just gotta play a lot of those Christian songs. Because if the lyrics are good, it should be based on the Word of God and it will get into your mind. And you might not want to sing at first, but after a while, you might start singing those songs and it's gonna be great for you. That's why I kind of grew up in the 80s, 90s. There was a song that we used to sing a lot. I don't know if anyone would remember this song. It's called As the Deer. Hands up if you remember the song As the Deer. Anyone? Oh, a couple of us. Hallelujah. Not the only one. But let me just read you the lyrics before we wrap up. Now, this is from the mid-80s, by the way. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Even the language is like so 80s. Oh, dear. I alone, you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Does anyone know where this song is based from? Psalms 42. Psalms 42. You see, you find songs, right, that is rooted in the Word of God. And you start listening to those songs and singing those songs and allow the lyrics of the songs fill your mind that God is your strength, even when you feel weak. God is your shield, even when you feel hopeless. Like God will get you through this season. Those words of God fills your mind, and you anchor it onto the promises of God. And that's how you get through this season. So anyone this afternoon that you're struggling, remember those 3 points. Longing for the presence of God again. Remembering the provision of God again. Anchoring on the promises of God again. And may God bless you as He gets you out of that season. And may this year you also encounter the glory and the presence of God again. And say, yeah, there's more to it than what I'm going through right now. I'm enjoying the presence of God. Amen. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that we all do go through seasons where it's tough. But yet in your word, you give us practical handles to get out of those seasons. I pray for this community here. I pray for anyone here today who's struggling, who finds that following you have been quite hard. That God, that the word preached this afternoon is a word for them. That as of this week, they will just cry out to you. They will long for your presence again. And Lord, I'm very sure that you have blessed them and that you've answered their prayers and you've done some great things in their situation. I pray they would remember those wonderful kindness act. And I also pray, God, that they would just cling and anchor on your character, on the promises that is recorded in Scripture for them. So Lord, I pray that every one of us this year, we will just walk closely with you, enjoy your presence over and over again. Bless us, God. And for those who are struggling, Lord, I just pray that they don't feel condemned. I pray that there's no guilt. I pray they understand that, God, you love them and that you will help them through this season. Bless every one of us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.